When it comes to raising children, you know the saying, it takes a village. But in the modern Western world, mostly we don't live in villages. And we tend to separate the generations. At the ends of the spectrum, those who need the most care, young kids are in childcare, the elderly are in aged care. But is there another way that would make childcare easier and reduce loneliness and isolation that older people can feel, and that would restore links between the generations? Casey Bryant is an architect. He's been researching buildings overseas that combine aged care with childcare in what's called intergenerational care facilities. Casey, as an architect, why do you look at buildings from this sort of social policy perspective, I suppose, rather than structure and design?
Hi, Amanda. Thanks for having me on the show. I think it's important to look at these kind of buildings from a social policy point of view because, essentially the policy is what creates those interactions. You can have great architecture, but without the kind of really great policy that comes with it, it's a bit difficult to make. For me, it's been really kind of important. I think a lot of Australian architects spend a lot of time designing houses and other residential buildings for living. And it's really nice for me to explore other types of buildings that can accommodate living at a larger scale of community.
Well, you've been looking at these intergenerational places in Germany and the Netherlands and Switzerland. Give us an example that you think works well. You know, how does it work? What happens?
So we went to a lot of buildings, but one of the ones that stood out for me was the Anna Haag multi-generational house in Stuttgart in the south of Germany. And to give a bit of background, Anna Haag is a kind of a community service provider that's been going for 50 or 60 years and have always delivered nursing homes or a nursing home and childcare. And about 10 years ago, they got a bit of a funding boost and were able to build a building for themselves. And the building is quite large and it has nursing facilities for about 90 people, individual kind of rooms, hospital level services. It has two childcares for about 70 kids total. And it also has a trade school for disabled adults. So it's got all three generations in there, which is quite exciting. And what works really well is that it provides what you would call very conventional levels of care. So they're standard childcares, they're standard aged cares, but they have a whole team of staff who are devoted to intergenerational activities and bringing people together. And so they have, you know, the building has this central atrium they call the marketplace where they hold concerts together, which of course kind of involves doing rehearsals and, you know, a year-long rehearsal and interaction between young and old to get ready for a Christmas concert. They have a big cafe. They have a garden that they work together in called the Generations Garden, which is actually really great. It has different size planter beds for kids, which are lower, elderly people, which are higher, so they don't have to bend over. It's got all these kind of things that are being considered in a really nice way.
All those sorts of aspects of design have been taken into account. What are the benefits, Casey, of these care facilities where children and the elderly are brought into the same space and the way the design works encouraged to cooperate or come together?
I think there's lots of great benefits. Obviously, as you mentioned, the issue of social isolation is a big one that it helps to combat. The buildings that I went to had this great sense of community. You know, people looking after each other's kids who, you know, a year ago were strangers to each other, which was quite amazing. But it also just helps keep people engaged with the kind of broader community. A lot of the buildings that I went to were in fairly high density areas. You know, the equivalent of inner city Sydney or Melbourne. And so it meant that the broader community could come and engage as well because there's already an established sense of an easy community to be a part of.
Casey Bryant is an architect who's been researching intergenerational care facilities in Europe, specifically where aged care comes together with childcare. And this is Life Matters with Amanda Smith. Now, does that sound like a good idea to you? I guess with the expense of childcare and issues like understaffing at daycare centres, would you be into sort of supervised support of elderly residents, I suppose, with childcare staff looking after your kids? And would elderly residents and friends benefit from having that sort of contact with children, do you think? Is it something you'd like to see available in your neck of the woods? You can leave a comment on the Life Matters Facebook page. Well, combining aged care with childcare is actually being put into action with various projects around Australia. Sinead Halliday is from Playgroup Victoria, and they run intergenerational playgroups. These bring together babies and toddlers with carers and elderly residents at, for example, the Bellarine Aged Care Centre in Geelong in regional Victoria. Sinead, these playgroups, I think you've been running them for a while now. How well do they work? What are the benefits?
It's hugely beneficial to all involved. In many ways, as people age, they become more dependent. In similar ways as children, elderly people become quite wobbly on their feet and they can't find their words like they once may have. So in this regard, it allows them to both strengthen their skills. And more than that, they just form emotional connections and get that meaning back into their lives. And that extends to the children as well.
Was there initially any trepidation on the part of parents, though, about allowing their little ones to go into an aged care facility?
In some regard, but in the best way, playgroup keeps parents with their children, so the parents attend with their children.
Oh, so it's three generations at least.
Well, sometimes four, because now grandparents aren't what I would call elderly. There's lots of grandparents who are in their 60s, so they're working and they're active. So sometimes it can be four generations, which is really unique and special. Especially for the people in the aged care facilities, they're able to pass down some skills and their knowledge and their stories in a really beautiful way.
So how and why did the fortnightly playgroups, intergenerational playgroups, start? What was the prompt, Sinead?
Well, playgroup really focuses on community, and it's a huge benefit to all involved. With the aged care facilities, there's lots of social exclusion. I think that they feel as though they're moving to the final chapters of their lives, but then young children come in and they spark that curiosity and the wonder in life, and it reinvigorates the whole community.
What was the prompt, though, that got it going in the first place?
Well, I think that there was connections with families.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, the parents would go and visit their own grandparents and they wanted to bring them back into the community. But also Playgroup Victoria really wanted to combine the forces as well.
And tell us about the dynamics a little bit, you know, between the elderly residents and the children during their visits. What sort of exchanges?
Well, it can be quite remarkable. Some people there have dementia and have kind of checked out for quite a period of time. They're wandering. They don't seem to quite be present. But when the children come, it's like they've awoken from a long dream. And it can be quite moving. The children really recapture, I think, more than anything, that emotional tug. And they have the chance to be affectionate with somebody and have an intimacy. And as a 93-year-old, you might not get that in any facet of your life. So to see someone who, so a 102-year-old holding a baby, and, yeah, it's like nothing else. You know, you're seeing both spectrums of life. And it's not about the start point or the end point, but it's about being in the present. And especially in this day and age when we're living vicariously through screens, it's nice to actually have someone listen, and children really respect that.
Yes, and what about with, say, the toddlers? Are they open to having those sorts of interactions with older people who aren't their grandparents? You know, they're not scared of them?
Naturally, the children are a bit timid initially, but it helps having the parents there to reinforce that. And by the second visit, they are racing up to them and wanting to tell them stories of what they've found outside. Or one of the most powerful tools is when the children make arts and crafts and give it to the elderly people there. And then that reinforcement that the children get and makes them want to do better and create more.
Well, Casey, extending the possibilities beyond these sort of fortnightly sessions that Sinead's talking about, is there any interest among other architects and policymakers, I suppose, in Australia to pursue this idea of intergenerational care facilities, you know, like those in those European countries that you've been looking at?
I'm sure there is. I think in
You're
my
sure
research,
there is?
Yeah,
is
I mean,
there?
not okay. So, but
or
not
you
that
hope
I've
there is
come across. I think there is. I mean, there in terms of a whole building dedicated. There's no one that I know of that's specifically doing that yet in Australia. But there's a lot of people that are working towards that through a whole bunch of different pathways. Griffith University up in Queensland is one example. They've got a great team up there researching intergenerational care. But in terms of how we kind of do it here, I think it's about trying to find the right people to approach and who kind of makes it happen. And I think it's – I actually really think it's people like Playgroup Australia and these kind of groups which are established at providing really good care already, that they then expand their offering through intergenerational activities as opposed to trying to invent something from scratch.
Well, Casey, I guess the requirements, though, of elderly, possibly frail people, the requirements that they have, say, of a building and design is going to be quite different from that of very energetic young children.
Yeah, definitely.
How do the two combine in the sort of intergenerational care facilities you've looked at? I mean, you mentioned the thing with the flower beds being at different heights, but in other ways?
It was interesting. I had that exact same question. That was one of the biggest questions I had when I started. And what I found was every intergenerational activity you do is going to involve someone who is in that third or fourth generation. And so every building that you do, which is specifically intergenerational, needs to be considered as an aged care building, essentially. But what I found really nice is that most of the places I went to, the children didn't notice the difference. And so, you know, I can't talk to the kind of requirements of the kind of more litigious requirements of childcare and those things. But in terms of kids enjoying the spaces, they have this great blindness to age and are really happy just being around all these people. So that's really nice.
Sinead, tell me more about the kinds of activities you do with your intergenerational playgroups to get the generations interacting.
We do lots of different things every week, including arts and crafts and some of the aged care facility things like knitting and sewing and baking and even pulling out their old recipes and things like that. But it's fairly free-flowing, structured play. But the children quite like the reward of being able to create something, as I said. But another extension of that relating to Casey is outdoor play and engaging the senses for both the aged care residents and the children is the most powerful learning tool. For the children, they're in a critical part of rapid brain development, and the sights and the smells and hearing.
So this is out in the gardens at the aged care facilities?
Yes.
Yeah.
And music is also a huge part of it, and teaching the children some of the old songs. It's really a walk down memory lane for a lot of them and for the parents who were there as well, who may have listened to that music growing up.
And the little kids don't know their old songs.
No. So that's one of the most powerful tools. Music makes everyone pretty happy.
Casey, with your architect's eye researching these intergenerational care facilities, are you looking at ideally buildings created from scratch or adapting existing buildings?
I was looking at a mix deliberately to see if there was a difference, and there was a big difference. I found that the buildings that were kind of custom made for intergenerational activities were much better. Mainly, the main reason was that they allowed this kind of space where people could choose how involved they were, which is hard to kind of retrofit into an existing facility.
Tell me more about that.
What I mean is that if you're someone maybe someone who has dementia or someone who's a bit older, having 20 kids running around can be a bit overwhelming. Mm. And so some of the really good examples I went to had these spaces. It was often like a balcony or something, like an internal balcony, if you could imagine that, where someone could, an elderly person could be standing on the balcony and being able to see a playgroup happening. But they could also quite easily just take a few steps back and be relieved of that intensity, or they could go downstairs and be really involved with it. So that kind of level of choosing your own interaction was really, really important.
Well, Casey, all facilities, whether they're aged care or childcare, of course, cost money. Mm. Who'd fund the sorts of buildings that you're talking about in Australia?
To talk about the ones that I saw overseas, they were all these kind of NGO-type providers. I was surprised that there were less kind of charities involved. So they were all kind of really standard kind of funding models developed through, you know, relying on fees and
what would be the equivalent in Australia?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's basically any kind of organisation that's set up as a business as opposed to as a kind of charity. That's not to say that charities couldn't make this happen in collaboration. I think that would be really great to see. But I think I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's nothing particularly financially onerous on the model.
No.
It's kind of easy for anyone to do, I hope.
Well, Sinead, what you're doing with the fortnightly intergenerational playgroups is one thing. What do you think about Casey's idea and interest in creating, you know, buildings where both aged care and childcare are combined in a sort of more immersive way?
I think it's a wonderful concept. I think it's very clever, and I think that it would be a win-win situation for the whole community. And it just includes everybody. So I would definitely be on board and support it wholeheartedly.
And Sinead Halliday is the project coordinator with Playgroup Victoria, that takes little kids into aged care facilities as playgroups to encourage interaction between the generations. And taking that idea further, Casey Bryant is an architect who's been doing research into intergenerational care facilities in Europe with a view to encouraging them here. Casey, Sinead, it's great to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what do you think about combining aged care with childcare? If your child perhaps doesn't get the opportunity to connect with older people very much, is this something you'd consider? Or do you know an older person who'd benefit from the social interaction with little kids? Perhaps that's you. Let us know your thoughts. You can leave your comments on the Life Matters Facebook page.